this evening to start off. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but it's very easy to be discontent in life. Have you ever noticed that? It's very easy for us to find ourselves in a position where we're just not happy with the way that life is. And we look at contentment and we think that we ought to be content with what we have. And I think to a certain extent that is absolutely true, that we should be content with what we have. But I think it's a good thing to be discontent. I think it's a good thing that we have discontentment in our life, because discontentment shows us something about ourselves. It helps us to realize something about where we're at. And, you know, there are many times in life where we are searching for something that will bring contentment to our life. I used the example last night of being a teenager in early 20s and thinking that if I just get that car, it'll be what I want, and I'll be content, only to find out that it doesn't bring contentment. In all of our life, we are looking for something that will bring contentment to our life, only to find out that contentment cannot be found in those things. But that's what we do. Isn't it not, as human beings? We live a life of discontentment, always looking for something to bring contentment to our life. Here in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, we find some teaching about contentment. We're going to start reading in verse number 1 and read several verses. Verse number 1, 1 Timothy chapter number 6, says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." And verse number 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confessions, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, what I want to focus on is that verse, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." There are a lot of things in life that we can seek after, and there are a lot of things in life that people do seek after. Some people seek after riches, and from a very young age in our society, children are taught that they need to grow up and they need to be a doctor or a lawyer or do something that's going to make them a lot of money so that they can maybe take care of their parents in their old age. I'm not sure. But whatever it is, we teach our children that that money is important, and money is important. You know that the work of God moves on the money that's given to a church. God doesn't need our money, but He does use our money to carry out His work here on this earth. Money is not an evil thing. And the Bible tells us here that money is not an evil thing, but it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. But there are a lot of things that people search for and that people look for, and they think that if I can get this thing, it'll finally bring contentment to my life. I'll finally be happy with what I have. I'll finally be in a place where life is fun and it's worth living. And they seek after many things. With some people, it's money. With some people, it's prestige. You know, in our day and age, everyone who plays sports Every basketball player thinks that they're going to grow up and they're going to play in the NBA and they're going to make a lot of money. Isn't that the way it is? And we're coached that way, right? You need to do your best. You need to work hard. You need all that thing. And working hard and doing your best is a good thing. But you know, if you're 5'5", maybe 5'6", as I am, the chances of you playing in the NBA are very slim. Even if you have skills. Very slim. You know, there are some people out there who are seeking after that thing. I am a New England Patriots fan, and I hate to bring that up because a lot of people don't like the Patriots. But I read an article years ago about Tom Brady after he had won his first Super Bowl. And after he had gotten to the pinnacle of football, you can't go any higher than winning a Super Bowl and being the MVP. You can't go any higher than that in football. And Tom Brady said right after that, something to the effect of, is this all there is? I thought that this was going to bring contentment to my life. You know, I thought this was going to make life worth living. But you know what he found out? He found out that you achieve that goal and you're still not content. Some people might be many other things, a relationship. You know, if I just had that person as my spouse, I think I would be happy. I think I would have contentment in my life. If I just had that job, then maybe I would be content. If I had that house, then maybe I could finally be happy. If I had that car and I didn't have to worry about mine breaking down anymore, if I just had that car, then I would be happy. If I had this or if I had that, then I would finally be happy. But you know what? Probably most of the adults in this room this evening can testify to the fact that they sought after something like that, thinking that it would bring contentment, only to find out that it did not. And you know that there are generations of human beings who have come before us who have had the same mentality, thinking that I can plug something into my life and it is finally going to bring contentment to my life, only to find out that everything they search after does not bring contentment. That's why we have such a problem in our world today with drugs and alcohol. People are trying to find contentment in substances. They're trying to find contentment in whatever they can find, and they're not finding contentment. So being discontent can be a good thing. And I think, in my perspective, the purpose of God allowing things to work this way is because God is trying to point us to Him. You see, there's not anything in this earth that is going to bring contentment to your life other than your relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that will ever bring contentment to your life. That is the only thing that's going to bring satisfaction to your life. That's the only thing that's really going to make your life worth living. But we try to plug in all kinds of things. And I believe all the while that Jesus is standing back saying, it didn't work, did it? But you know what? I'm over here. And you know what? I'll bring satisfaction to your life. And we ignore that. And we go on to the next thing. And we achieve it. We accomplish it. We go buy it. And we find out that we're not content. And all the while, God is saying, you know what? I'm still over here. I'm still the one who's going to bring you contentment in your life. And why don't you try me? Why don't you try your relationship with me? And we ignore that. And we go on to the next thing. And we're trying to find something that's going to bring contentment into our life. And we find that contentment does not come. But yet, as human beings, we're too slow to learn the lesson that I believe God is trying to teach us. There is nothing in this world that is going to bring you contentment other than your relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, some people think it's their marriage. If my marriage would just be a little better, then I would be content. Your marriage isn't going to bring contentment to your life. You know, if I just had children, you know, I think my children would make things better. If I had children, life would be great and I would be content. No, it doesn't work that way. And then after we're discouraged in that, we start to think, well, maybe it's because I married the wrong person. Maybe if I would just get rid of this spouse that I have and find another one, then I would have contentment. And many people have tried that. And they found that that doesn't bring contentment anyway, just a side issue. Do you know how to determine whether or not you're married to the right person? I have a simple test to help you with that.
You said I do?
That's a good one. Here it is. You go home. You get in your filing cabinet and you find your marriage license. Okay? And if the name of your spouse is on that marriage license, then you married the right person. And that's the person God intended you to be married to. It's the person He wants you to remain married to. And that's pretty easy. So find contentment in Jesus Christ. And that will help your marriage. A lot of times we think that if I can make this better, if I can make my marriage better, then my relationship with God will be better. But you see, that isn't necessarily going to work. Because we don't find our contentment in our marriage. We find our contentment in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then it overflows into our marriage. And it makes our marriage better. You see, it works that way generally in every aspect of life. All of those things that we're looking for, all of those things that we want to bring contentment to our life that we find they do not, when our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is right, it's a vibrant relationship, we find that, you know what, I kind of like my car. It's not all that bad, you know. It has a little bit of character, bumps and dings here, but I kind of like my car. It's a good car. It's the one God gave me, and you know what, I'm content with that. And that contentedness flows out of a relationship that's right with the Lord Jesus Christ. So why is it in our day and age, so many Christians are not content with their lives? I'd say it's because we're missing the key. And that is having a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. If you can look at your life this evening and think that my life would be better if I had this, then you're looking in the wrong place for your contentment. My life would be better if I could go there or had this job or had a different spouse or had whatever. You're looking in the wrong place for your contentment, and you'll not find it where you're looking. But you'll find when your relationship with Jesus Christ is where it ought to be, that all those other aspects of life you're content with. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The verse before talks about how some suppose that having great gain is godliness. You know, a lot of times that's the assumption that a church that's growing and, man, it's up to 10,000 members or whatever, that must be a really godly church. And that doesn't necessarily mean that's true. It doesn't mean that it is a bad church because it's growing, because the gospel still works. A growing church, that's what God intends. But just because something is growing doesn't mean that there's godliness there. Just because financially you're doing pretty well doesn't mean that it's necessarily God who's blessing your life because of your godliness. But on the flip side of that, if we have godliness, we have that vibrant relationship with Jesus, then we're going to be content with the financial status that God has given us. Now, I think because of the parable of the talents, I think God expects us to better ourselves in life. I think He's given us abilities and He wants us to hone those and make those things better. We ought to seek to better ourselves. So discontentment with ourselves is a good thing. I think sometimes discontentment comes from God to spur us on to seek Him. You know, there are some things in church in our day and age that we ought to be discontented with. How about the fact that we're losing upwards of 70% of the young people who come through our churches? If you're content with that figure, something's wrong. We ought to be discontent with that. How about independent Baptist churches haven't seen a massive revival in decades? You know, we ought to be discontented with that. And if we find ourselves being okay with that condition, there's something wrong. You know, we ought to be discontent when we notice that the baptismal waters aren't moving as they once did. We ought to be discontented with that. And you know what those things ought to drive us to do? It ought to drive us to our knees to develop and to deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, because that's where the answer to our discontentment always is. If we're discontent about the condition of our church, then we need to go to Jesus Christ. If we're discontent with the situation that we find ourselves in life, then we need to go to Jesus Christ. He is the one who brings contentment to life. And friend, if you're looking for it somewhere else, I don't have to try hard tonight to convince you that you're not going to find it. Because most likely, you've already tried to find contentment somewhere else. And you know it's not there. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter number 5 for a moment. Luke chapter number 5. Story of fishermen. Fishermen who go out fishing. Now, I know one thing about a professional fisherman. A professional fisherman catches fish. Do they not? If you are a professional fisherman and you do not catch fish, you are not going to be a professional fisherman for long. Now, when your livelihood depends on fishing and you go out and you don't catch fish, you're not going to be alive for very long. You've got to catch fish or you're not going to eat. You're not going to be able to buy the things you need. And that's what we find here in Luke chapter number 5. Jesus is preaching. He's asked Simon to allow him to preach from his boat. Simon allows that to happen. In verse number 4, we pick up, it says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, on thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." So we're familiar with his story, and we're familiar with the net and the nets and the importance of Peter putting out the nets instead of just a net. And we're understanding that story, but I want to kind of take a different look at it tonight and understand that these men were professional fishermen. That's what they did for a living. They weren't out there fishing at night because that's when you catch fish. Well, how do I know that? Because they were professional fishermen, and that's when they went out fishing. And they toiled all night long. They worked hard. They were trying to catch fish. And they find out that, hey, I caught nothing. Have you ever worked on something? Maybe you spent all day trying to prepare something, and at the end of the day, you find out you've gotten absolutely nowhere, although you've worked all day. It's not a good feeling. It's a disappointing place to be because you've toiled. You've put the work in, but you've accomplished nothing. And that's exactly where these men are. They've accomplished nothing in life, and I'm sure they were discontent with that. They were not happy with the fact that they hadn't caught anything, and they weren't happy that they didn't have any fish to sell. They didn't have any fish to eat. They were disappointed. Now Peter is having Jesus tell him, hey, Peter, throw out your nets. And I am the kind of person that I don't necessarily like it when someone tries to give me advice when I haven't asked for it. Do you know what I mean? And I don't like, you know, if I know how to do something, and it's like this. I saw this t-shirt once that said handyman services, $40 an hour. And it said, if you give advice, $60 an hour. If you ask to help, $80 an hour, you know. Handyman doesn't want you doing that, telling him what to do. He doesn't want your help. You just leave him alone and let him do his job, right? And I can imagine these fishermen were kind of the same way. They're thinking, listen, we're fishermen. We know what we're doing. We know when to fish. We know how to fish. And you're asking me to do this. Okay, I will go out and I will put my net out and we'll do this. And he finds that Jesus asked him to put that net out because Jesus desired to bless his life. He was blessing him for his faithfulness and allowing Jesus to use his boat, and it's just reaping what you sow. But here we find that Peter, who's the fisherman who knows what he's doing, who is a professional fisherman, finds that now he has a boat full of fish. His partners come over and they have another boat full of fish. Now, for a small business owner, this is like, man, I finally hit the big time, you know? I'm not in the red anymore. I'm in the black. This is great. This is, you know, I can't believe how good this is. I'm so excited about this. And you would think that that would be the end all, beat all. Man, they are just ready to go. They're going to buy new ships. They're going to buy new nets. Things are going great. Everything is exciting. The best thing that ever could have happened, happened. Because they caught all of these fish. You would think maybe that would bring contentment to their life. You would think that they would say, hey, this is all I need to make me happy. This is all I need in my life. So I can just leave everything else that Jesus is talking about and I'll just continue my fishing career with my new boats and new nets and all these things. But that isn't what happens, is it? As they bring in this whole load of fish, two boats full of fish. And I don't know exactly how many fish it would have been. I don't know how many pounds of fish it would have been. But I do know that it was more fish than they had ever caught. This was a huge haul. But you notice what they do as Jesus talks to them. Jesus tells them what His plan for their life is. In the end of verse number 10, it says, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And verse number 11 is just astonishing to me. As it says, "And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him." Do you know what that means? It means that they left those boats sitting on the shore. They left their nets sitting there. They left all of those things that they had been working towards and working for and thinking that was going to make their life better and it was going to just to fill their pockets and do all these things, maybe bring happiness to their life, bring contentment, everything they're working for. And they left it all behind. And they followed Jesus. You notice the theme of the year. Follow me, and Pastor Vaughn mentioned Sunday morning. You know, you can follow Jesus at a distance. Or you can follow Him up close. You know, these men would have not been content if they would have got back in their boats and they would have went back to fishing. They would have not been content if they would have went back out into the workforce and continued to do their job as fishermen. That wouldn't have been enough for them. From a very young age, I don't understand why. But I kind of felt like that God wanted my life. Didn't understand why. I didn't understand how. But I just felt like that my life would be useless if I didn't spend it in serving God. I would never be able to find contentment in my life if I were to work a secular job. Now, it isn't that way for everyone. Not everyone is called to follow Jesus in a full-time manner. But some people are. Some people God has chosen to forsake all and follow Him. Now, I don't know why it was that way with me, other than the fact that God wanted my life. And maybe you're here this evening and you are searching for all kinds of different things and you've tried many different things to fill your life and to make your life happy and to bring contentment to your life and you've found that it's fallen short and you're focusing on your relationship with God and you are anxious to follow Him and you want to follow His will for your life and you're finding that where you're at, there's still just not contentment. Can I ask you this evening if maybe it's because God is asking you to follow Him? Maybe God desires to have your life to serve Him in a full-time capacity. Friend, can I tell you this? If it's God's will for you to be a pastor, then if you're an NFL quarterback making millions, you're not going to be happy. If it's God's will for you to be a missionary, then you could be the head of IBM and not be happy. If it's God's will for you to serve Him in a full-time capacity and you're not doing it, you'll never find contentment until you do. I don't know who God has chosen. I don't know. I know God chose me. And I know there would be no contentment in my life if I turned away from that calling. And I know that as Christians, there are many times where we get away from God. And we allow ourselves to delve into sin. We get away from our Bible reading. We get away from spending time with Him. And we find that we're not content. And I think God has programmed our lives to be that way, to call us back to Him. So maybe where you are in your life today in a state of discontentment, maybe it's because you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's never been a time in your life that you got on your knees and acknowledged your sinful condition and called out to Jesus Christ to be your Savior. For there's no contentment apart from Jesus Christ. But maybe you're here this evening and you know Christ is your Savior, but you've let things slide. Your relationship with Him is not where it ought to be, and you know it. And there is discontentment there. And can I tell you, friend, I believe that tonight that discontentment comes as a message from God telling you, I'm over here. I'm waiting on you. And you can find contentment in your life again if you'll just return unto me. Maybe you're here this evening. God has spoken to your heart. You're serving God. You have a vibrant relationship with Him. But He's calling you to take that next step. He's calling you to launch out into the deep. To be one who would say, God wants me. Friend, if that's you tonight, you will not find contentment anywhere on this earth apart from being in the center of God's will. Friend, don't turn a deaf ear to that. Can I tell you, if you'll speak to any human being alive, they can tell you that things do not bring contentment. Relationships do not bring contentment. Jobs don't bring contentment. Houses don't bring contentment. Cars don't bring contentment. Animals, pets don't bring contentment. None of those things are going to bring contentment to your life. It's going to be your relationship with Jesus Christ that brings contentment. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment.